W260 CB Racine and 98.1 FM W251 BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Vicki Barker. It's a two-horse race for the Republican nomination after Ron DeSantis ends his presidential run and endorses Iowa caucus winner Donald Trump.
Trump is superior to the current incumbent, Joe Biden. That is clear. I signed a pledge to support the Republican nominee, and I will honor that pledge.
One day before the New Hampshire Republican primary.
With Ron DeSantis out, New Hampshire voters say they were not looking to him anyway.
It is surprising. I think that it's really interesting that DeSantis decided to drop out this early. As much as I think Trump's a strong candidate, it's shocking that he'd want to drop this early.
DeSantis was not spending time here, instead was in South Carolina over the last week since the Iowa caucus. Who do most here say they're voting for?
And have you made up your minds?
Oh yeah, we're Trump people.
I just hope he wins. I don't think it'd be a landslide, but I think it'd be a good race, and I think he's going to have it.
Matt Piper, CBS News, Manchester, New Hampshire.
Former President Donald Trump will split his time today between campaigning in New Hampshire and attending his defamation trial in New York City. 51 years to the day after the now overturned Roe versus Wade ruling, the presidential and vice presidential couples are embarking on a two-day multi-part reproductive rights campaign.
One of them is to make it easier for people to get contraception using the Affordable Care Act at no cost. Another policy announcement, the Office of Personnel Management essentially is going to do the same thing for federal employees. On top of that, the HHS Secretary Javier Becerra, he's going to essentially put out a letter to different insurance programs and payers that receive federal funding that they have to cover contraception.
CBS White House reporter Willie James Inman. Much of the U.S. continues to shiver in Arctic weather. The freezing temperatures have burst pipes in Memphis, Tennessee, prompting only the third boil water advisory in the city's history. Utility Chief Doug McGowan.
I wish I could say we were completely clear of this, but we are not. We will be working on this for the next few days.
More concerns about Boeing planes. The FAA last night recommended visual inspections of Boeing 737-900ER planes. Turns out that model has the same door plug design as the 737 MAX 9, which saw a door panel blowout on that Alaska Airlines flight earlier this month. And the Detroit Lions are one win away from playing in their first Super Bowl.
Goff looking. Safe crowd.
Detroit held off Tampa Bay 31-23 on NBC and will play the 49ers in the NFC Championship game. Kansas City edged Buffalo 27-24 and will face the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC title game. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers want to ban abortion in Wisconsin after 14 weeks. Right now, it's 20 weeks. There are exceptions. The bill has a public hearing Monday, the same day Vice President Kamala Harris is in Wisconsin to promote reproductive rights. The measure needs to be signed by the governor and approved by voters statewide, but Evers is likely to veto the bill. The state health department is recommending that all young children be tested for lead in their blood. Previously, only children deemed at risk were recommended to be tested, like those living in homes built before 1978. They say that children as young as 1 or 2 years old should be tested, and as old as 5 if they haven't yet been tested. Exposure to lead can lead to slowed growth and development. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks play the Pistons. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee and Detroit again at Little Caesars Arena, part of a doubleheader. The Bucks won the first game Saturday night, 145-131. College basketball, after losing one on the road to Penn State, the Badgers picked up a win at home at the Kohl Center over Indiana, 91-79. Wisconsin, now ranked 11th in the nation, heads to Minnesota in a game against the Gophers tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers, with exit meetings with their coaches after losing to the 49ers, 24-21. Matt
LaFleur.
Well, I think anytime there's a finality to the season, it's always tough unless you're the last team standing. And for us to lose this game certainly stings, and I'm sure it's going to sting for a long time. But I was proud of the effort of our guys, our ability to weather some real adversity throughout the course of the season and stick together. And I told the guys, you know, I think part of the reason it stings so bad right now is we fully believed and fully expected to win this game.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Our weather's going to be a little messy here the next couple of days with temperatures hovering right around that freezing mark. Some light rain, some freezing rain, some freezing drizzle today, high of 32. Rain and snow could be heavy at times tonight into tomorrow, although snow accumulation will be less than an inch. It could make roads a little messy. Our high tomorrow, 35. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport.
News Talk and Sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
If you ever plan to move west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to LA. More than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks on Route 66. Now you go through St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, and Oklahoma City. Look mighty pretty, you'll see. Amarillo, Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona, don't forget Winona, Kingman, Boston, San Bernardino. Aren't you get hit to this timely tip? When you make that gal out on your trip, get your kicks on Route 66.
Hey, good morning. I'm Don Rosen, 707 at WRJN Radio, a Civic Media station, hometown radio refreshed. One of my favorite topics is coming up right now, Route 66. My wife and I are members of the Illinois Route 66 Association. Actually, it's not called the Route 66 Association. It's called the Illinois Association. What's the exact name again, Dwight?
It actually is the Route 66 Association of Illinois.
Yeah, okay, so I was smart, and I didn't even know it. All right, Dwight Cannon is the brand new president of the Route 66 Association of Illinois. Congratulations on your election, first of all.
Thank you.
And Route 66, it's Americana, it's history, and it's almost gone, but it's still there in some parts of America. But you got to see it because a little bit each year may be eroding, but not in Illinois. It's big business Illinois. And do you know a little bit of the history of it? Because I brought it up here. Do you know a little bit of the history of Route 66, how it got started, and all the little inclinations on what went on with that thing?
Oh, sure. Well, initially, a lot of the roads in the United States were essentially trails. So you had the different roads were designated with names, and some of them very long, confusing, couldn't get them on maps because the name was so long. And they decided, well, we'll just put numbered highways. So starting in 1926, they had numbered highways running through the United States, and that would include U.S. 66. And initially, it was going to be U.S. 60, but there was some complaints from some folks out east that it did not actually run coast to coast, and they had a highway that ran coast to coast that ran through them that wound up being 60. And they wound up using 66, which actually became iconic. Of course, 60 still exists, and 66 does not officially exist, although it certainly exists in the hearts of many of us.
Yeah, it got decommissioned not that long ago, really. In the 80s?
Most of the road became the interstate. So if you were to drive down the interstate, it would share 66 signs, And a lot of that happened around 77 or so, but it was officially decommissioned in 1985.
Yeah, and it's now, instead of having Route 66 signs, they have historic Route 66 signs. They're very obvious because they're brown and white, and you catch them immediately. Now, there are several different Route 66s because some were done in the early 20s, some were done in the 40s. So you could travel Route 66 and we'll tell you the 1920-something version, the 1940-something version goes this way. And in Illinois, you have that, too, where they change routes every once in a while. They do it today, too. They change routes all the time. So you have different versions of Route 66, even through Illinois, right?
Well, yeah, and you do have people that say, well, 66 moved all over the place, so there's not really any Route 66. It wasn't continuous and that type of thing. Well, they moved the interstates, too. So
yes,
there's a huge section through Missouri that they rerouted. So with 66, same thing. So initially, let's use Illinois as an example. Illinois was the first state to be fully paved. And the reason it was fully paved is they used State Bond Issue 4, or what would now just be called Illinois 4, as the routing for Route 66. And you can still travel a part of that in the area south of Springfield. Leaving Springfield, you would stay on Illinois 4, and it does have signage on it for the historic 66. That would have been for, I believe, 26 through 30. At the time, they were actually building the other 66, which was farther east, and that was more of a straight path. The interesting thing about the Illinois 4 south of Springfield is it took the way that a lot of roads did back then. It went around everything. So if there's, say, a farmer's house in the way or whatever, they just went around it. So it's kind of zigzaggy. The 4 that's in use today is pretty straight. But if you keep your eyes open, you'll see signs that point you to 66, and you will turn off. There's a couple of sections there that are famous, the Auburn Brick Road, and also the Turkey Tracks, where when they poured the concrete, some turkey or turkeys decided to leave their imprint, and those are still there. So that's from way back in the 20s. Even Joliet, say. That route was from 26 through, I believe, 42, and then they bypassed Joliet, went through Plainfield. And that was pretty frequent. That was because of the traffic going through a town. Sometimes it would be detrimental to people's travels. So at that time, Plainfield was pretty empty. So they went through there and just made the traffic easier. There's a lot of that through Illinois, and there is through many of the states where there were 3-4 different routings of 66.
Now, you have a dead man's curve, too, in Illinois, where it makes a very sharp left turn if you're heading south, and it's called dead man's curve.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because if you look into this, back in the day, there were no speed limits. So it was just what they called reasonable and proper. And, of course, everybody has their own interpretation of what that means. But you didn't have signs along the way saying, say, 55 or 60 or whatever. It's just whatever you thought. And I believe it's Towanda. And
yes,
you would be rolling down the highway at 60 miles an hour, and suddenly there was a 90-degree turn right in front of you. And, unfortunately, not everybody made that turn.
There's also, and this is part of it's in Illinois, part of it's in Missouri, it's the Chain of Rocks Bridge. That's another bridge that's got like a, not, I don't know if it's 90-degree turn in the middle of the bridge, but it's really sharp. And when
I think it's around 30 degrees or something, yeah, and it was very bad for trucks.
It's very bad for humans to make that turn.
Yeah.
And I remember one time it was closed to auto traffic, and the Route 66 Associate of Illinois got special permission for us to take our cars over the bridge and back again. And I have videos of it. I have still pictures. I dropped my ticket, threw my wife out of the car so I can get a picture of her on the bridge with all the cars. Get out!
Yep.
Took a minute, you got back in again. And so when you belong to the association, it's those kind of things. You get little bonuses where the ordinary people could not get on there. We got special dispensation to do it. Let's take a trip on Route 66 in Illinois. And it starts off in a very busy area right in downtown Chicago.
Yeah, you can actually see beginning and end signs still up there for historic. They tend to get stickers all over them, and they clean them off, and then they get stickers again. But they're at Jackson and Adams. Now, initially, that was one road, but when they switched those to one way, then they had to have two different routings of 66 because you couldn't go east on the westbound one way. And you can still go down there. We actually, years ago, the motor tour would start downtown. We tend to bypass Chicago. The routing through Chicago, Cicero, Berwyn, and all that tends to be a little detrimental to their traffic flow. But we are attempting to see if we can do that for the centennial celebration coming up in a couple of years. But yeah, it starts in Chicago, right at Michigan Avenue, and then flows all the way down to St. Louis.
Now, when you get out of downtown Chicago, what's the first big stop?
Oh, boy, there's a lot of them. And, you know, in downtown Chicago, of course, you have Lou Malnati's that's been there for a very long time, the Berghoff. Leaving downtown, I guess one of the bigger draws would be Delray's Chicken Basket.
You know, well, stop right there. Let's not go another.
Yes,
Delray's Chicken Basket. My wife and I drive down from Racine to Delray's all the time. Even during COVID, we went down there because we had to have their chicken. And I was nervous about being sitting in the room with other people at the time. And they said, how would you like to have the banquet room all to yourself?
Oh, very nice.
And so they sat us in the banquet room. No one else was allowed because they knew we felt a little nervous about it. It was well worth it. Their chicken is made fresh when you order it. In other words, you got to wait. It takes a while because they make it and deep fry when you order the chicken. So when you get it, it is delicious. We go there all the time, to Delray's Chicken Basket, right there on Route 66. And then you got to mention the other chicken place right down the road.
White Fence Farm.
Yeah, one claims to have the most delicious chicken. One claims to have the best chicken.
And a little competition, yeah.
Well, the thing I like about White Fence Farm is they give you these hush puppies, and you can have all you want. And they both have their pluses and no minuses, but they both have a lot of pluses. And White Fence Farm is huge. It's a huge place.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah, Delray's is a little smaller. It's been there. It basically grew from a gas station. And it's not in the same location. They built a restaurant. But it's still relatively small, certainly small compared to White Fence Farm. But it is good. I enjoy going there on occasion. It's a little hard to get to, so you have to look it up and find it. It is on, still on 66, but that's one of those areas where a lot of 66 is under the interstate.
Right.
Now, the section they're on is still there, but then it immediately goes under the interstate. So you have to basically go back through a shopping center and then kind of wind around, and then you'll get there. It's worth the effort.
You know what? We have it memorized. It doesn't matter. We get off the interstate. We know the exit and everything. We go to Delray's Chicken Basket is good. And then we switch off occasionally, go to White Fence Farm, because they're both very good. But you mentioned that for a second. All of a sudden, I started drooling all over the place. It's that good. Wow. Okay, now we're going to talk. We're going to take a break here. Dwight Cannon is here. He's the president of the Route 66 Association of Illinois. And we're going to take you to where they filmed a couple of movies. We're going to take you where they filmed The Blues Brothers, where they filmed Trains, Planes, Automobiles, a whole bunch of other places. Plus, there's a place on Route 66 in Illinois where they actually invented a cure for drunkenness. And I'm going to take you there. I mean, it's what's on Route 66 in Illinois is amazing. And plus, we're going to tell you how you can join the Route 66 Association of Illinois. Coming up, you get a great magazine a couple of times a year. You get to meet a lot of nice people on their banquets and on their road trips. It's all coming up here at WRJN Radio. I'm Don Rosen, 719, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a Civic Media station. Stay where we are.
You're listening to News, Talk, and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Governor Evers lays out his priorities for 2024 when he delivers his State of the State address. I'm News Director Terry Bell. Join Civic Media's Todd Albaugh and me as we bring you the governor's speech live, right here, Tuesday night at 7, followed by the Republican response. Todd and I will help you understand what it means for you, your family, and your community. Join us for the governor's State of the State address Tuesday night at 7 here on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
Hospice Alliance's care team includes trained volunteers who share their time and talent to help carry out our mission of providing quality and compassionate care. Our volunteers offer support from companionship and respite time to running errands and office work and so much more. Serving patients and families in Racine, Kenosha, Southern Milwaukee, and Eastern Walworth counties. Learn more about assisting in Hospice Alliance's mission. Visit hospicealliance.org.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Daytime turns me off and I don't mean maybe. 9 to 5 ain't taking me where I'm bound. When it's gone, I run out to see my baby. We get grooving when the sun goes down. Thank the Lord for the night.
Yeah, it's 7:20 at WRJN Radio. My guest, Dwight Cannon, the president of the Route 66 Association of Illinois. And Dwight, we were talking about the chicken places on Delray's and also the White Fence Farm. And they do. They have their own Route 66 soda bottles, and we have them at home, and they're displayed in our kitchen, the Route 66 soda bottles. I mean, mm-hmm. Tastes like every other soda, but it's a Route 66 bottle.
Yep.
There's no difference. Okay, now, that was in... Where were those? The chicken places were in what town now? They were in
Willowbrook for Delray's, yeah. And then Romeoville for the White Fence Farm.
Now, Joliet Prison is on Route 66, and this is the famous Joliet Prison. Now, they do have a museum there where you could take a tour.
Right.
And we actually went in there and bought things that prisoners have made. You can. There's like a little store, and we bought some things that they made, and the prisoners get the money. But this is where they filmed the Blues Brothers. At Joliet Prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, not inside, but I think on the outside of the prison. So you can drive up there, take a picture of yourself standing outside the prison, and go to the museum, which is very interesting, right on the grounds there.
Right, yeah, that's where he's released, and it shows him walking from the gate. And yeah.
Yeah. So that's in Joliet. There's so many other things to do in Joliet. There's a you go through downtown, there's an old movie theater there that was around back in the day. So that's pretty good. Wilmington, is there anything in Wilmington I should know about?
Wilmington's got several things. It's got the famous Gemini Giant.
Yes,
A lot of people, yeah, a lot of people like to get their picture taken there. Of course, Wilmington itself has, I believe it's called the Island City.
Yeah.
The river runs through it, and there's a little island in the middle of that. So a lot of little mom-and-pop places along there, along the road for, speaking of eating, good eating there. So, there's a little bit there in Wilmington.
There's a little restaurant there where the Gemini Giant is, and we'll explain what that is in a second. And they were closed down for a while, and we were looking at the menu, and it said all different varieties of salads. And my wife said, well, that's what did them in. They should have stuck to hamburgers and hot dogs on Route 66 and cut out the salads. They would still be in business. The Gemini Giant was to promote mufflers, I guess.
Yeah, they had these throughout, and there's several of these along Route 66, and we have our fair share in Illinois. We actually have a museum that is of recent input. It's in Atlanta that has a lot of these, and they did more than these, but the most famous ones are basically called the Muffler Men, and not all of them hold mufflers. Many of them have been... altered to hold other things. So there's one that's in Atlanta that is not part of the museum called Paul Paul, and he was actually holding a hot dog. He still is to promote a hot dog place, and I believe it was Cicero or Berwyn, somewhere in that area. Bunyan's was the name of that restaurant, and they purchased that. And it wound up in Atlanta. The Gemini Giant itself was also a muffler man. But he was altered back in the days of the space race.
Right.
Hold a rocket.
And he's got a helmet.
He has a helmet, which is supposed to be a space helmet. It actually kind of looks like a welding helmet. But
it does.
He's iconic. He's known all over the world.
You know, you're right. It does look like a welder's helmet. It doesn't look like a space helmet. I never thought about that. And you can get your pictures taken, and they are pretty big. I mean, they're huge. And they have them out throughout the country on Route 66. A lot of people have them. But, yeah, they were originally meant to hold mufflers, and they found other things to put in the guy's arms. Okay, when you get to Braidwood, there was a motel there called the Braidwood Inn. It later became the Days Inn and became now the Sun Motel. And that's where they filmed Trains, Planes, Automobiles. And there's an iconic photograph, which was on the movie poster for the film. Also, I think it was also on the VHS box or the DVD box. And it shows John Candy and Steve Martin sitting on their luggage. And they're sitting in front of a sign that says Braidwood Inn.
Yep.
And that's where they filmed Trains, Planes, Automobiles, right there. In front of, now it's the Sun Motel. I don't know why they would have changed the name, because there was a woman who did an entire log of her trip through all of Route 66, and she said, I stayed at the Sun Motel, and I said, Sun Motel? That's the Braidwood Inn. And she didn't realize it, and she would have taken a picture in that spot because they changed the name. I don't know why people would do that. I mean, it's famous for that name, but they do. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I mean, in some of these cases, you know, maybe it's part of the sale where the original owner wanted to maintain the name as their motel. Now you have to give it a different name. No telling why they change it. Or some people just think, that's an old name. Let me give it a new one to refresh it. Unfortunately, we run into that a lot in 66, where people think, I want to refresh this and I want to give it something new. And that what happens is sometimes iconic structures are destroyed so they can build a new and better. But especially our visitors from overseas, and we get a lot of them, they're looking for those old things. They want to see the relics. They want to see the old mom-and-pop places and the old tourist traps and all that. That's what they're looking for. And frankly, that's what I'm looking for,
too.
I'm driving down 66. Yeah, I want to see the old stuff. I don't want to see a new thing. I can see a new thing down the street from my house. So,
and we're going to give you a website later on. There's a website I'm going to get. It's Roadside America. I'll tell you all about that. And they'll tell you every site you can see on Route 66 across America. It's a very good site. I had the gentleman on the air with me once from Roadside America. And this summer, I hope to have him back with me again when vacation times kick in again. Now we're in Gardner, Illinois.
Yeah, that's a little town that has a couple of iconic things. So driving into Gardner from the north, you'll pass on your left a sign that says Riviera. There was a roadhouse there, and it had been there for a very long time. Had a restaurant, a bar, that type of thing. Unfortunately, it burned down several years ago, so the sign's kind of a placeholder to show you where it was. And aside from the Riviera itself, they had a little diner. Now, I know that people probably have seen these, not really sure what they are when they're passing by, but they look like little trolley cars. And they basically, you would go in these, and they were little bitty diners, and they would have a grill or whatever in the back and a few seats. And there was one of those sitting at the Riviera. Well, that is now actually in Gardner. So you can still go see that diner, and it's next to the two-cell jail that's in Gardner, right next door. Mm-hmm. So you can visit both of those, just walk to each one. They're worth seeing.
I have a picture of myself in that jail. It's a two-cell jail, and you can take a picture of yourself behind bars if you'd like. Give you folks back home a chance to see what you look like behind bars, just in case.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to hold off on this next one because I have a story that goes to it. It's your namesake, Dwight, Illinois. And I've got a story there about, I guess, back in the day, they came up with a cure for drunkenness. There's a whole great story behind this, and it's in Dwight.
Right.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that coming up in just a moment. My guest this morning, I love talking about Route 66. Speaking about Dwight Cannon, the president of the Route 66 Association of Illinois, is here. And we're going to talk about how you can get involved in the Route 66 Association of Illinois. That's coming up. I'll give you that website, by the way, later on, Roadside America. I think it's roadsideamerica.com. So you can check out everything, plus the Route 66 Associations of Illinois website. That's all coming up. 729 WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a civic media station. Thanks for joining us this morning. More straight ahead. Stay where you are.
and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
This report sponsored by Current Electric, home of the superhero. Current Electric, a pioneer in solar energy for residential and commercial in the state. Go to callcurrent.com.
This is Chuck Smith, founder of Current Electric. I want to thank you, Southeast Wisconsin, for making us number one electrical service company in our area. From residential and commercial to all things solar. Do you know the number one reason people call Current Electric? It is trust. We answer the call. They trust our heroes in their home and businesses. With 8,500 five-star reviews and growing, I'm so very proud of our team of heroes. Go to callcurrent.com. That's callcurrent.com. Home of the superheroes.
Wisconsin Farm Technology Days has announced the host for the 2026 event. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Monday. They're headed to the Stratford area for the 72nd annual show, where No Joke Dairy is getting ready to host. Anna Maynard, general manager of Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, explains they've had to change up their system when it comes to finding farms willing to host the state's largest outdoor agriculture event.
So it just got to be harder and harder to go the route where we found a county who said, oh, yes, we want you to come. And then after you say that you'll come, then we'll go out and find a farm. Mm-hmm. And what I started hearing was from farms that said, you know, we would have the show, but our county's not interested. We don't have an ag agent who's interested in doing it. Our ag agent is new, so they're not interested in doing it. And so we just decided, you know, if there's farms out there that are willing to do this, maybe we just go direct.
Anna Maynard, general manager of Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. Now, this year's host site is still hosted by a county. We'll be headed to Chippewa County, just outside of the Country Fest grounds, August 13th through the 15th for this year's show. And then beginning in 2025, individual farms will step up to host the event.
What does supporting rural communities look like? At Compere Financial, we believe it starts with giving back. That's why we are here, with grants that invest in the communities we serve to help beginning farmers, fund agricultural education, support first responders, stimulate economic growth, and partner with causes that matter to our clients. Visit Compere.com to learn more. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
The end of harvest, snow covered fields, and an early morning sunrise. Winter is a good time to evaluate your livestock's health. BioVet loves seeing healthy animals contribute to your farm's profitability. The knowledge and support from our team is here to help you make the difference in the health and productivity on your farm. Help your livestock stay healthy and call 1-800-BioVet1 or visit bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
And a team of four from UW River Falls has been placed first in the nation in the National Forage Bowl competition. They were the smallest university in the competition. Members of the team included Ryan Botma, sophomore from Maple Grove, Minnesota, Jace Hyman, a senior from Kewaunee, Tucker Lundquist, senior from St. Paul, and Hannah Schall, a sophomore from Medford, Minnesota. That's a quick update on what's happening in food news. More available anytime at MidwestFarmReport.com. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
A psychological thriller that unravels into a clever, calculated mystery. Dial M for Murder.
Continues this weekend at the Racine Theater Guild.
Tony marries Margot for her money and is named heir of her estate. He creates the perfect crime by blackmailing an old acquaintance to murder her. When the would-be killer ends up dead by Margot's hand, Tony works to frame his wife as the plot weaves a tangled web full of deception and danger.
Call the box office at 633-42. 218 or visit RacineTheater.org for showtimes and tickets.
Our weather's going to be a little messy here the next couple of days with temperatures hovering right around that freezing mark. Some light rain, some freezing drizzle today, high of 32. Rain and snow could be heavy at times tonight into tomorrow, although snow accumulation will be less than an inch. It could make roads a little messy. Our high tomorrow, 35. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. Cancer screening tests can help keep the person you love around longer by detecting changes before cancer develops, or catch it early when it may be easier to treat. And many tests are available for free or covered by insurance. It's time to sound like a broken record. Tell all your friends and family.
Right into the personal stuff. I'm a single guy. I'm single and I just turned 50, which means I'm ready to cut a deal. Maybe you have a nut job sister-in-law you're trying to shove off on someone. I'll take a look. You know, whenever I say that, men laugh and women go, "What about Carol?" Every woman has a specific nut job friend. They immediately think of, they're a single guy. Carol's due for release in a few weeks. What's the range on her ankle monitor? Please, I don't need help meeting crazy women. I've got that locked down. Trust me, I'm good. That's my core demographic.
Was out to get me. That's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm.
Yeah, it's 7:36 WRJN Radio. I'm Don Rosen. Thanks for joining us this morning. My guest is Dwight Cannon. He's the new president of the Wisconsin Association of Illinois. We're talking about Route 66 going through Illinois just down the block from us here. You can take a nice tour. If you want to make a day trip, you can do that too. Or you can spend it overnight and do the entire Route 66 through Illinois. It starts in Chicago, goes right down to Springfield to the Chain of Rocks Bridge. And we're in your namesake town now, Dwight, Illinois, home of the Keeley Cure. Why don't you tell us about that?
Sure. There was an institute that was founded, and actually quite some time ago. I believe it was back in the 1870s, maybe late 1870s, 1880s. And basically what they would do was they had a cure for alcoholism. So there was an entire institute there. And people would come from all over to be treated. And it must have worked, at least to some extent, because they were around until, believe it or not, 1965. The Keeley Institute itself, the buildings are still there. They're obviously not Keeley anymore, but you can see them in downtown. And they also had some other facilities scattered around Dwight.
What really got me was you could see pictures there of the lines of people, including famous celebrities, took the Keeley Cure, and it said it cured drunkenness, but yet there were people that went there time and time again, so that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Now, here's something interesting I found out there. They didn't want people copying it, so they never wrote down the formula. The two people involved knew the formula in their head. So what people were doing was they were actually taking the bottles and selling it. But they copyrighted one thing. They copyrighted the label. So you could not sell the Keeley Cure with the label on it because it was copyrighted. And nobody knew the formula. So when these two guys died, the formula died with them. I don't know what was in there. Kool-Aid or, you know, Dr. Pepper.
There was apparently gold in it. I don't know how much. And, you know, maybe powder or something. But it was called the Keeley Cure. Or they... alternately, the gold cure. So it actually had gold. I don't know what else. It could have been Kool-Aid for all of
Dr. Pepper. Okay, yeah. We're coming to two important towns now. Odell, which we have a couple of stories about, and we're coming also to Pontiac. But let's start with Odell.
Yep, Odell, actually, one of the highlights of Odell, and there are a few, is an old Standard Oil station. And at one point, that station was in, shall we say, disrepair. It was in pretty bad shape. And our association stepped in and helped these guys out in Odell. We brought it up to where it could actually be used as a visitor center. And Odell runs that now. You can visit. It's a very popular place. Again, a lot of visitors from outside the country stop there. A lot of pictures being taken. There's a pump that's out in front. It's an old gravity-fed pump. You can go inside. There's a gift shop, and it's a really nice stop along the route. And just to the north of that, there's the remnants of an underpass. And the story on that was the Route 66, this is one of those towns where you had multiple alignments. And Route 66 used to run a little bit farther to the east through Odell. And they moved it. Well, when they moved it, there was a little bit of a problem in that there was the folks that lived on one side of 66. The kids had a school on the other side of 66. And as you can imagine, 66 is a very busy highway, so very dangerous for kids to try to cross. So they actually put a tunnel under Route 66 so the kids could get across there to the school. It is, you can still see the guardrail from the entrance, but it has been filled in. It was probably, in its later years, it'd be a little bit dangerous, but you can still see that. Yeah, Odell is not alone in that. There were other towns that had those too. But it is kind of curious to see that and see the remnants of that underpass.
Yeah, you can see where the railings were, but it's all filled with pea gravel now, so you can't get into right. it. But you can see where it was on both sides. And it's kind of spooky and interesting at the same time, knowing these school kids had to go into this tunnel to get across the street. But it was bumper-to-bumper traffic going across Route 66 in those days. There was no interstate. So this was the only way to get across the country. And this is what they did. And that was in Odell. Pontiac is one of my favorite stops, because there you have the Route 66 Museum right there in Pontiac.
Right. That is our museum and Hall of Fame. So you can go in there. You can spend, depending on what you're looking for, you could spend hours in there. We have lining the walls and in a couple of cabinets in the middle are Hall of Fame members. And those can be people or businesses that exist now or at one time existed, relics from some of these places. We actually have some Burma Shave signs hanging up towards the ceiling. All kinds of things like that. A lot of interesting things, and it's free. Of course, we appreciate donations, but there's no charge to go in there. And I will add that there are several museums in Pontiac. We're not the only one, and they're all free.
Now, you have an actual trailer in the back that was used by an artist that traveled Route 66.
Yeah, we have... There was a man named Bob Waldmeyer, and he was noted for his artwork. He did some beautiful stuff, a lot of pen and inks, watercolors, and you can get postcards that he did. And we actually have in the museum his microbus. He had a VW microbus, so you can see that. And if you've seen the movie Cars, I believe the name of the character is Fillmore. It's a microbus. That was actually modeled after that bus. Bob had a thing about big corporations and all that, so he wasn't a big fan of Disney. So they wanted to call it Waldmeyer initially, but he wouldn't allow that, so that's Fillmore. So that was his little microbus. And then behind the museum is the land yacht or road yacht, depending on, there's people call it by different names, but it is a converted school bus that Bob did himself. And it's basically a house on wheels. So it's an old school bus on the bottom, and then you'll see there's a lot of wood on top. He had I guess you could call it a sun deck on top of the bus. And you can go in there. There's, believe it or not, a sauna in there. We have it open, I believe it's the third Saturday of each month. Unfortunately, it's very, very small inside there, so getting people through it can be difficult. So we have... a docent that's out there on that one third Saturday of the month, and it's worth seeing. It's really something. And again, he built that himself. I've been in it a lot of times. I really think it is unique. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like it.
It's very busy inside, let's put it that way.
Yeah. He's got a lot of stuff that he had in there, and then his family, after he passed, added some more things. So there is a lot in there to see.
Also on the outside, you have the Wishing Well from the famous Wishing Well Motel. The Wishing Well is out there as well. You have a lot of memorabilia from Route 66 that people wanted to get rid of, and you guys said, whoa, we're not getting rid of anything here. We'll take it. And it's outside. And there are murals outside as well across the street from the museum, you could see. It's stepping back in history, and it's so well preserved. And you said it's free to go in.
Right.
And we bought, I bought some t-shirts from there. We bought some stuff from there. And it's in Pontiac. It's right, I think, is it off Route 66? I think it's off Route. You got to go down a few roads to get to it. But also in Pontiac are these homes that were made with these tiles. And it begins with an L, and I can't think of the name of the tiles. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, no. They were these, not really certain.
Yeah, they were these tiled homes, Luxor or something like that. I forget what they were called. And there's a few of them left in America. Two of them are in Pontiac, and one of my good radio friends lives in Wisconsin. He bought one of those homes they used with those tiles, and he's got one. It's my friend Sly, and he works in radio in Madison, and he bought one of those homes with those tiles on it, and he knows all about the history of it, and he knows about them being in Pontiac, Illinois. Now, coming up next is Chenoa, and there's a drugstore there. And when I wanted to get my wife a gift one day, I saw it there, but I didn't want to get it when she was there. So when I got home, I ordered it through the mail. And it's a piece of Route 66. When they chopped up the original road before they put the asphalt down, the original road, people saved them. And I have a piece, and they put a plaque on it mentioning this is the original Route 66 road from the 1920s or 30s, whatever it was. And we have it displayed at our house. But you could buy from the Chenoa drugstore sells them, and we did it by mail. I mean, you don't have to go. You don't have to go pick it out yourself. But we did it by mail.
Pretty heavy.
Well, it's a little thing. It's not more than about 4 inches long and 2 inches wide. It's very tiny. But yeah, it's the original road. They have it sliced and diced in little pieces, so you can actually own a piece of that road.
And it's worth noting, since you mentioned the old road, if you're driving down through that area of Illinois, there's a lot of places as you're driving down historic 66 that you'll see on the west side, Moore Road, that you can't drive down. And that is part of 66 when it was a divided highway before the interstate that is no longer maintained. You can't drive on it. A lot of the bridges are out. It's old concrete that was just basically crumbling, so you can't drive on it. But I find it interesting just to see that, and you can see it's the old concrete. It hasn't been overlaid with the asphalt or anything, and you can see that road, how it looked back in the day. And I remember, you know, as a kid driving down 60, or I wasn't driving, my dad was, but going down 66 in the ka-thunk, 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 as you're hitting the, you know, the control joints in the concrete. And now there's you can see all that.
There's a place that we can actually walk part of it instead of driving. And I forget what town that is in, but it's like a walking path, and they have map of the entire Route 66 on there, painted on the road. But it's a walking part where you don't take your car. You park it, and you can walk it. And to me, just knowing that that's where the history took place of this country when people were moving west, that was the only way to get west on Route 66. And it started out as a dirt road in parts of the country, and later they had it paved. They used to have people that would pay to get your car out of the mud. I mean, just, which is, you know, we can't fathom that today, but that was life back then, you know. Your car got stuck in the mud.
Yeah, I guess a famous one is, it's called the Jericho Gap, and it's in Texas. And it was a section where it was dirt. And if there was any kind of rain or anything, it turned into very, very bad mud. And you can see pictures of this. You could probably do a search on the web and find these. There's pictures of these old, like, Model A's and that buried in this mud, you know, way past the bottom of the tire up in there. And they were stuck. So the farmers in that area would actually come out with their horses and pull the cars out. The rumor has it that some of these farmers would actually go out and water the road so that people would get stuck, because it was a source of income. They later bypassed that, and it, of course, got paved, so that source of income disappeared. But I'm sure the Jericho Gap was not the only place where that happened, because a lot of 66 to the west and the southwest through, say, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, that was not paved. They were dirt roads. So if you had any kind of weather, you were in trouble.
We're talking Route 66 in Illinois with the president of the Illinois Route 66 Association. Actually, the Route 66 Association of Illinois. We're talking to Dwight Cannon. More with Dwight coming up in just a moment. It's 749 at WRJN Radio. Stay right where you are.
Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest. Not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating, without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
I was just talking to Dwight. We're not going to finish this today. We're not going to travel Route 66 to Illinois. So Dwight's going to have to come back. And we're only getting through half of it today. There's so much to go, including Springfield, the home of Abraham Lincoln. We're going to get to that as well next time. But let's talk about what we can talk about now. We're in Lexington. And the reason I bring this up, Lexington, is because I have this pictorial history of Route 66. It's two editions. I think you know the one I'm talking about. They're two coffee tabletop books, and they have the Lexington sign in there. And it's just, that's why I always think of Lexington. What's in Lexington that I... Oh, before we go to that, where is the place? It was called the Pig something or other. You know what I'm talking
about? Oh, the Pig Hip.
The Pig Hip. Where was that?
Broadwell.
Broadwell.
That was Ernie Edwards had a restaurant there for years and years called the Pig Hip. And supposedly the name of it came because I can't remember which side, but he said the left or right side or whatever of the Pig Hip was the most tender. So that's all he made his sandwiches from. Now, how much of that was hyperbole, I don't know.
And he started that as a teenager, building this place up.
Yeah, so he had a little restaurant there. We actually, after it had closed, one of our motor tours years ago, since you mentioned the motor tours, we stopped there, and he actually made lunch for us. Sadly, Ernie's not with us anymore. And unfortunately, the Pig Hip itself burned down several years ago.
Yeah, I know.
So you can see where it used to be, and there's not really, Broadwell's not a really big town, but that's where the Pig Hip was in Broadwell, just between the interstate and historic 66.
I think he made it into a museum at one time, it was no longer, that's when we saw it, when it was a museum, and then the next time we went by there, it was empty. The sign was there, but it was empty. It just burned down, and that's sad because that was people remember that as part of Route 66. There was also something called the Hen. What was that? The Hen Restaurant or something?
I'm not familiar with that one, except that I have heard of it as well.
Yeah, and
I'm not certain even where it was. So.
Yeah, I forget what the name of it is, but what my wife and I, we bring the picture books with us. If the picture's in there, we have the owner or the manager of the restaurant or business sign it. So we have all these signatures in our book, and you know, people are going to die, buildings are going to be gone, but we have the signatures in our book. I can't think of the name of the Hen something or other. They're all across the country too. They were, at least. I don't know if they're still there. We had lunch there. I don't know if it's still there or not. It may not be. But you know, these places come and go after a while. We're in Towanda. Now there's something there because I remember stopping in Towanda. What's there?
Well. I guess the thing that you can most recognize from Towanda, besides Dead Man's Curve, is a little outside of Towanda, and this isn't on 66, although you can see it from 66. There's a big farmhouse sitting outside of Towanda. It's like a three-story tall brick farmhouse. There's a lot of stories about it, most of them not true. Somebody said it was actually on the Underground Railroad and all this, but it was actually built after the Civil War. So that wouldn't quite hold true. But the interesting part of that is one of the, if you're familiar with the anthology series Fargo.
Yes. Yes.
One of the Fargo seasons had that in it. And it was kind of like the two sisters owned it. And each sister decorated her half differently than the other. They didn't get along very well. And when you go in there, they apparently came in and they actually decorated all that and would then restore it back to its proper appearance. But that is that building, and it's a fascinating building. It's sitting all by itself. There's nothing around it. You can see it from miles away. It is a big old farmhouse. So that's, to me, an attraction. I've driven by it several times. I believe that they're using it as a venue for, like, weddings and that type of thing.
Where's Funk's Grove?
Funk's Grove is a little bit further south, and Funk's Grove is on the alignment of 66. There's a town called Funk's Grove, and north of that is a town called Shirley. And both of those towns, the Funks actually had property through there, a lot of property, and they have still a facility there outside of Funk's Grove where you can buy maple syrup, S-I-R-U-P.
Yes.
And it is excellent.
It's spelled differently. Now, both times we went there, they were closed because they were out of syrup. And we went there both times. We drove up, and they were closed. And I said, well, how do you know when this place is open? They run out of syrup, and they close. That was it.
They're very popular, so if you don't get there, it's gone. So you have to get there in season, and preferably towards the beginning of the season, to make sure that you don't run into what you ran into. There's nothing to sell.
And I've got to get the story someday of why they spell syrup S-I-R-U-P instead of S-Y, like the rest of the human race spells it.
Well, years ago, apparently, one of the ladies that was involved in it, she said it had to be spelled that way because their syrup had nothing added. It is pure maple syrup. Some of the other ones are, say, fortified or whatever with sugar or whatever. There's nothing in this but maple syrup. So she said that was the spelling because these other guys were just imitation syrup. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But apparently, back in the day, that was a spelling that was in the dictionary. You had both S-Y-R-U-P and S-I-R-U-P. The S-I-R-U-P obviously has disappeared over time, except in Funk's Grove.
Now, normal Bloomington is huge. So that's big. That's next up there. What's there? The university's there, right?
Yeah, there's quite a bit. So you have Normal. That's what the town was named after because back in the day, that's what they called colleges where they taught teachers, normal schools. So it became Normal, Illinois, because of the school. But it is a rather large pair of cities that are sitting right there. And there is a lot in that. I don't know that I could cover it in the time we have left.
Right, no,
but there is a lot in those two towns you can go through on 66 and just off of 66. I believe that's where the David Davis Mansion is and all these different things that are in there. It is it's a worthwhile stop on 66.
When you join us next time, we're going to talk about my tornado in Bloomington, where we ran into a tornado. The only time I've ever done that in my life. And so we'll talk about that. Give the website out for the Illinois Route 66 Association there.
Oh, it's IL66ASSOC.org. And we have a lot of information, including the different stops that you can go to along the route in Illinois.
And if you join the association for $30 for the year, you get this great magazine a couple of times a year. It's with pictures of people taking their own pictures and submitting them. It's really good. And don't forget RoadsideAmerica.com, RoadsideAmerica.com. If you have trouble remembering that website for the Illinois Association, just go Google it and you'll find it. Just Google Illinois, Route 66 Association of Illinois. Dwight, you got to come back. We're only halfway done. I thought we could finish it today. Who knew? Dwight Dwight Cannon, who's the president of the Illinois Route 66 Association, thank you very much. You got to come back. Okay, my friend, hang on the line. Don't go anywhere.
Thank you.
Stay there. Stay right where we are. All right, I'm Don Rosen. We'll do it again tomorrow, 6 a.m., bright and early. Here at Hometown Radio Refresh, a civic media station, WRJN, 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM in Kenosha. Stay where you are. Don't move.
News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Bucks and Packer fans, listen up. Your smiles are in for a winning treatment at Dr. Stephen W. Campbell's office at 3801 Monarch Drive in Racine. Just like your favorite teams dominate the field, Dr. Campbell excels in dental care, and your winning grin is his top priority. Whether you're cheering for the Bucks or celebrating a Packers victory, make sure your smile is game day ready. Call Dr. Stephen W. Campbell at 262-432-9529, where your winning smile is always in season.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.